going to inch up to you just because of the mics. Yeah. I'm not stopping you.
Okay.
Well, welcome, Susan Prekel.
I've never heard it pronounced that way. That's
Prekel. Welcome, Susan Prekel.
Thank you.
I must say, you have a famous vibe. Like, when I'm around you.
Flattery. I'm calling this out. Flattery.
No, when I'm around you, I leave and I'm like, she was really, really cool. Like, you know, you don't expect famous people to be like that down to earth. No, seriously. I know, but that's the vibe you have. That's the vibe.
I think it's my height.
It's your aura. Your aura's tall.
Well, you've done a really good job buttering me up. The inside scoop on my moving here story.
It is like the first cold week of the year.
Yes.
And my lips are falling off as we speak. I know nothing about when you moved to New York, how you got here, where you came from. So everyone has a date. Not everyone remembers their date. Do you remember your date?
It's so funny. I haven't thought about it in years. And do you know when it was? It was Thanksgiving weekend.
No.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Is such an that's complete coincidence.
Okay. When,
that's
though?
So funny. Like 100 years ago.
Oh, okay. So 19...
Hang on.
13?
Nine. I am a vampire. I want to say probably like 99.
Okay.
It might have been 98.
Okay.
And
so this could be 15 years this weekend.
It is, probably. Okay. And I'm just in denial.
Okay, I see. That's fine. Denial will shave off the numbers.
And, I moved out here from Chicago. I was living and working there a couple years after school. And so we're all going to do the math and figure out my age.
No.
And I thought Chicago was fine. Like, not in a great way, just fine. And kept coming out to New York City because I had all these friends from college who moved here and was like, what am I doing? I have such a better time in New York City. But I think I was just scared to move here right out of school. I think I knew I wanted to, but I was like, well, let's just go to Chicago.
Yeah, the pretend city.
Yeah, totally. Sorry,
where did
Chicago.
You come from?
Oh, originally from Michigan.
Okay, right.
Which is where I will be going this Thanksgiving to see my parents.
If you get out, there's some weather issues.
Aware. My flight is at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Fingers crossed. So, yeah, I went to the University of Michigan. I went to Chicago because that's what you do, and you get a good job.
That is what you do after Michigan, right?
Yeah.
You go to
it's the law.
You either stay in Michigan or you go to the big city.
That's as far as you're allowed to go is Chicago. Yeah.
I can see why you didn't like Chicago because the few times I've been there, not that I am by any means Kelly Catrone or Elle Macpherson, but I found the fashion was just blah.
It's beyond. They think a maxi dress and flip-flops is, like, happening.
Right, but you have great fashion, so obviously you outgrew Chicago after day minus one.
No, I don't know. I just have weird taste, and I was like, this is horrifying. It's like the Macy's catalog from 5 years ago come to life, and I can't handle any of you. It was kind of like everything I hated about college or Michigan. I loved college, but, that sort of, like, let's go play volleyball. Like, no. Let's go sit in the dark and watch a movie.
Right.
And
not talk or interact.
Yeah. And then let's just not speak about anything that involves party favors.
And also it's big, but you're still in the Midwest, and you can feel that in every corner of Chicago.
And I think that's such a hard thing for Chicago to hear, because they do have such beautiful hotels and restaurants, and, like, there is so much great stuff. It was not working for me. Neither was the job situation. I was working in advertising, and because that was the creative thing that you were, like, allowed to go into because it was still a job. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents didn't understand it, but...
At least they knew you went somewhere at 9 and came back at 7 or whatever.
She has an ID badge.
Yeah, right.
She has some kind of health insurance, and we're just going to ignore the rest of this.
She sits at a desk.
We don't know for sure. Don't know for sure. Yeah, they really, I mean, I was so into pleasing them.
Yeah.
I mean, as I probably still am, but much less so, obviously. And, I would hope all that therapy paid off, but I,
You still don't know. You come back, you see when you come back for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm
you,
always a little,
I become
I'm always
Napoleon
a little,
Dynamite.
I was going to say, it's almost a little wounded after a few days. No, they're great. They just, my dad put himself through law school, so he's not going to screw around. This isn't, let's just continue moving forward, Prekels. So I was working in the, on interactive copywriter, web vagueness, and so unhappy. And I just decided. So I picked up and I put everything in a van.
Wait, what do you mean you just decided? What do you mean? Like you woke up and you're like, today's the day.
No, it kind of was almost that much. I was like, this is done. Oh, but this was
and
really
I love
funny.
How you're like, going home for Thanksgiving? No, I'm just going to move to New York by myself.
No, actually, it gets my mother was there.
Your face was dropped.
We'll get to that. No, you know what it was? I knew things weren't going well at my job. And so I'd started doing like improv and stuff. And somehow I'd met Rob.
At Second City?
Yeah, at Second City. And I had definitely started stand up, but was just like horrible and going to open mics and stuff. But I knew Rob Perivonian through that. And he had left for New York City like a year or two prior. And he was back in town visiting at some point. And I was like, oh, if you ever need a roommate, think of me. Because it was obviously in the back of my mind. And he was like, yeah, whatever. Next thought. Weird craziness. Like months later, I need a roommate.
Huh.
And I was like, I'm in. And so he found the place. He like told me about it. I didn't even bother to find it on a map. And he sent me the lease at work at my day job. And I signed it and sent it back. And I got fired, laid off that day. And the HR
just all just kind of coincidental?
Totally coincidentally. I mean, I guess I must have known on some level that things weren't like amazing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to get promoted, but I mean, the whole department.
They probably saw the lease.
No, well, actually, that's exactly. No, the whole department was like that, so it wasn't like a personal. But they, well, I'm sure it was somewhat personal. Mm-hmm. But so I got laid off in the morning, and I got compensation. Like, this is your severance, and now you can go file for unemployment. And then at the end of that day, I'm packing up my desk, and the HR woman comes over with the confirmation that my fax went through. And remember, like, in faxes, the first page of your fax. So it was a lease.
Oh, my God.
135, like, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, or whatever it was. So, yeah, isn't that funny?
Oh,
she was like,
love-
that's for you. I'm like, thanks.
You're like, yeah.
Thanks for the severance. Bye.
I read your mail, so I took care of myself.
And, no, I had no, it was just a dumb, dumb coincidence. So, somehow...
You were intuitive, though, too.
Well, I'm aware when I'm
you know when it's
failing.
Trying to move on.
When things aren't working. It wasn't even that bad. So that whole interactive time, they didn't even know what the hell they were doing. So I packed up the van in Chicago. Then I drove to Michigan. And then I picked up my mother.
Oh, gosh.
Who believed that she needed to come with me in order for all of this to happen, because how could I possibly drive and read a map? And so she got in the van with me, and then we drove from, Michigan to New York in, like, one day. And
one day?
Yeah, because it's really
that,
not
like
that
14
bad.
14 hours?
Yeah, it's just really long. And that's all there is to it. Pulled up the U-Haul in front of the apartment in Brooklyn. No idea where I was.
Where in Brooklyn?
Now it's a great neighborhood. It's over by the Bell House. It's a few blocks from the Bell House, so it's that 4th Avenue, 9th Street stop on the NR and the F and all that. And it was like a townhouse, and it was across from a tire repair shop. And I spent exactly 1 year there.
you're very good at precise moments with leases. 1 year to the date. The day you get fired, everything is precise. But wait, what did your mom think about you living with a guy? Was that...
They understood it wasn't romantic.
Okay.
That would not have been
There's no romance in comedy.
No. And Rob is great, but we were always like, hey, what's up? Like, it was never, it wasn't even on the table.
And it was a two-bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
which was great. And he traveled a lot, too, because he was on the road so much with college tours and stuff. And I was working... I had the place to live, but I didn't have a job. So
everyone comes with one thing.
That's all you need. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Who?
A girl I know that I interviewed on this very podcast came with an apartment and a job she set up.
How?
I don't know to this day. She kept coming to New York and interviewing and then found an apartment. She really did it. But I don't, she had told
me. She sounds high strung.
Well, the thing is, she had told me she probably wouldn't have made the move had she not had both, because knowing herself, especially back then, it would have been too stressful, which is amazing, because usually you think those people are meek, but she survived this whole time. But she's always had a job.
What industry is she in?
She used to work in, working for the symphony. High strung strings. See, you called it. Bandcamp, okay? But then she moved on to a magazine, and now she works at a school. But she's always had a job, which is crazy, because I've been unemployed, like, at least for four pockets of my 12 years here.
Oh, my God. Right back at you. And the time we went to lunch, I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
No. I also will say this, too, though. I don't know when she did it. When I did it, the economy was amazing, and it was not a big deal.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. Like that.
Late 90s, it was
blue. Yeah, it was like, whatever, here's a piece of paper with my name on it. You're hired. And that, I mean, I'm exaggerating. Mm-hmm. There was some effort, but it wasn't like a stressful idea. And like, I was just quitting jobs left and right back then because I was like, I don't really like it. This isn't helping comedy. And, you know, then I had to get another one because obviously eating and blah, blah, blah.
All but, that bullshit. No, but
yeah, so back to the move. I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah, this stuff interests me. You pull up with your mom. Where does your mom spend the night? Does she sleep?
Oh, we slept in the same double bed.
Okay. Yeah, that you brought or was it there?
Yes, I brought the bed. Okay. And I didn't bring much at all. Is it bring or take? Bring it here.
Take and bring.
No, it's take it there.
Bring it here.
I brought, who knows? I'm here now.
I didn't bring it. Yeah.
I, like a bed and clothes, a couple suitcases. Like it was a U-Haul's worth, but it wasn't crazy. And we just did it ourselves. And then Rob helped me with the mattress. Mm-hmm. And I think that just went on the floor. There was no headboard.
Oh my gosh.
And,
was it a walk-up?
Oh yeah. But it was only the second floor. It was cute. They had remodeled it. It was very cute. They were very, they were smart. It was like a young couple. He was an actor. She like worked at a bank or something. Mm-hmm. And they bought this kind of rundown townhouse, which is in a great neighborhood now. But then it wasn't, and they redid it, and obviously they, you know, were looking for the income. Mm-hmm. So we were amazing tenants.
How long did your mom stay?
Oh, a couple days.
Okay, and then she flew back?
Yeah.
Okay.
She loves New York, but she loves, like, not Brooklyn. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a little too real.
Yeah.
So
when she left and you spent that first night alone or with your roommate, was it just no transition?
None. I don't even care. Like, wow. I was happy. I don't even have a memory of it because I was just like, this is happening. But I also was very, very lucky because even outside of people that I might have met or known from comedy or whatever, my best friend from fourth grade from home already lived here.
Nice.
And then for whatever reason, people I was friends with at college were from around New York.
Right.
And they were here. Mm-hmm. So I just walked into a really nice situation, you know, and just was like, Bonnie, what are we doing? What are we doing on Friday night? You know, and she, you know, took me under her social wing that way. So there was no, I know so many people have that experience of like moving to the big city. You don't know anyone. You feel very alone.
It's rare in New York because everyone knows somebody. I mean, I had like two people, three people, and then I've grown into a life here. Now I have less friends in Boston because they've all left where I grew up than here.
Yeah.
So at what point did you go to your first mic and how did that come about?
Fairly shortly thereafter, I'm sure. I mean, I really believe I would have moved anyway just because Chicago was not my bag. But, you know, stand-up was definitely in the back of my head. And even though I was nowhere near anything like thinking of being able to make a penny, you know, I knew what I was, which was a beginner. But
how long had you been doing it?
I mean, I want to say at least a year or two. I'd been kicking around Chicago, but I cannot describe how little effort was going into
that.
And I'm almost embarrassed that I was like getting on stage without
preparing
more. Well,
I could look at
my
calendar today and probably understand how little effort. No, I'm just joking.
But you know, like the concept of like writing, or I guess I thought if something popped into my head, I mean, who needed to hear it? I'm like, wow, that was really interesting that you thought that was okay. I just, especially because I wasn't working that much then. Like, I didn't have, like, a crazy stressful job. I should have been writing, like, hours and hours. But, so I'm sure it was surf reality or something like that. Like, something you could just find in time out and open mics. And I don't remember the very first time, but I remember, like, that first. And, like, Luna was the biggest deal ever.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ever. And
Get to perform there?
I did. I was so, oh my God. I'm so excited. So excited.
Did they have like auditions there? Is it like a place to be seen or was it just?
It was. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going, knowing. I mean, I was hanging around for a couple of years by the point that I did it. I don't remember. Obviously, it was like Jeff Singer and Naomi. so nice, and her last name's completely escaping me. I want to call her Naomi Wolf, but that is a writer. Damn it, she's so nice. So they were the ones who, she booked it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was just through that, you know, awesome process of looming.
Yeah.
The looming.
Yeah.
Eventually, somehow, something, I got somebody's email or something and sent someone a tape. Who knows? It's all just a blur. And what were you going to say?
Were you a hanger-outer after shows?
Probably not as much as I should have been. Mm-hmm. I really don't recall doing too much of it. I was just a skitterish, nervous person who knew I needed to go to stuff and do that, but never was one to, like, enjoy it or... well, I guess I did because I like talking to people, but, like, that... I mean, there was a period where I just didn't know anyone.
Right.
And it's like,
it's
I can only stand here so long with the glass in my hand and not feel totally ridiculous.
Yeah. It's weird to talk to strangers that you think you're supposed to talk to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an organic sort of. I'm sure that, like, in the first few years, you definitely gravitated towards your friends that you found.
Yeah. And I, it was, you know, that going to open mics and then you start to see people, and I'm sure, but that takes, what, months?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's many, many nights I just, like, would dart in and dart out, just like, oh, I can't even deal.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have those nights. You can't hang out all the time. Otherwise, what are you going to write about? Hanging out with comedians?
Yeah. No, there was, like, a group that I know, but I always felt on the very friendly, but not, like, making plans like that or anything. I
don't The first year, where did you move after that apartment in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn was very far away back then, and that was not
back then. What has changed? I'm sorry. Has the landmass shifted?
No, but there was, like, nothing out there.
Right, right, right.
And so it was just completely different. It's unbelievable. I was even over there, and I was like, wow, I should have stayed in that apartment. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a whole new world. But I was like, I got to get into Manhattan. And so I ended up, at some point during that first year, I took a job that I really didn't want, but I needed the letter to say I made X to get the rental. So I moved to Lower East Side, Stanton, and Rivington. And I had a roommate there who was a girl I knew from Chicago who was moving out to New York City. And so I found that for us, and we moved in there, and I spent 2 or 3 years there.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're amazing. You're a doer. You get things done. And you have no transition. You're just like, I'm here now. I was kind of like that in New York, where I call it with my friend a dog being put in another direction. Like, okay, I guess I'm walking this way now.
I remember being very excited, like in a way that I wasn't in Chicago. And I just thought the subway was amazing, how you could, like, zip around. And now it's like...
And it's all the same price. Because because in other cities, you pay per, like, how long you go usually. Like in D.C., the longer out you go on the subway... the more you have to pay for your ticket. And in Boston, actually, too, in some areas. I don't know about how it works on the L in Chicago.
I think it's all one price.
Oh, because here you can go from, like, the Bronx to Brighton Beach, which is, like, a two-hour ride for all for $2, which is, or $2.50 now. I mean, it's more. But still, it's really nothing compared to other cities. Did you find, like, some things were surprisingly way cheaper here than other cities?
I guess food wasn't as bad.
Food,
as
manicures? No, really.
Look at these hands. There's no manicures. I am too busy ripping the skin off the sun.
Have you tried to get a manicure in another city? First of all, it's inconvenient, and they always take appointments instead of walk-in, and it's like $18, $20, $25.
Ah.
There's no $10 manicure, I mean, that I found in other cities.
I
taxis are cheaper.
Really?
Yeah. Taxis in, like, Boston. I mean, that's what I found. Taxis, manicures, and food, because there's so much competition.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
But rent sucks.
Rent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Some of the fixed costs, such as rent, are hideous. Yeah. No, I remember, but I've never been, like, a huge, I have to go out to a restaurant.
Right.
And I just have to go to the new place. I don't care. I'm like, oh, look, there's a sandwich. So to me, like, food has never been a big, big issue. Though, when you do go to a grocery store now.
It's expensive.
Oh, it's crazy. But, like, when you go out, I'm sorry, I was not being clear. When I go outside the city to a grocery store, I'm like, this is free. It's all free.
I know. It's nuts.
It's great. So, no, I think it was just more like, I do remember walking home one night after going to Caroline's. I wasn't performing. I was going to, like, look and see.
Yeah. Yes. Sit in the back.
Figure out.
Watch other comedians on stage.
Yes, exactly.
Learn. Be part of it.
What are they doing? And, I was very upset because I was like, oh my God, they're so good. I was acutely aware of where I was in the food chain. And I was a little, it wasn't quite, what have I done? But like,
what I have ahead of me?
What? Come on. Like, what? But then whatever.
Yeah. What was that early on?
Mm-hmm. I remember walking home to Brooklyn.
You walked home?
No, from the subway.
Okay.
Walking home from the subway stop to the mm-hmm. apartment, and which I don't think is a safe walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was not a safe walk at that time. And being like, wow, those people are really good. And you know, the funny part is, I think I was at it wasn't Jim Gaffigan, and you know, it was like a bringer.
Yeah. Oh.
So you I was impressed by the people bringing. Like, that's where I was.
That happened to me too before I even started. Uh-huh. I went to a Caroline's New Talent thing in 07 or something.
Yeah.
And I looked at everyone and I was like, these people must tour. Like, before I knew anything about comedy, I assumed everyone was like, on the road, on this magic bus you get on after you pay your dues, you get on there and it takes you. You know, I had no idea.
To shows.
And I told this guy about 2 years later, I'm like, I saw you at Caroline's. Do you tour? He goes, that was my second performance ever.
I just gave anyone who was up there just all the credit in the world. And I think I remember there was one person in particular, and I don't know her name, but I think I saw her around a little bit and I don't see her anymore. And she was very good. Mm-hmm. But it was also a bringer.
Yeah.
You know, that
which
of course I had to learn that lesson too. Yeah. Oh, I'm killing at bringers now.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Your friends just love you.
Right. Right.
Let's
everybody else has another friend and they're being polite.
Yeah, let's duplicate that when you're a stranger. Right. Let's see how that goes. Oh God. If I'd know, I don't even know if I... Well, of course I would because it was what I wanted to do. But like, it's good that I didn't get it.
Right.
Because if I had gotten it, it would have been too much to comprehend. Like, oh boy. Maybe that's like having a kid.
I think so, because you know what? No, seriously, you just read my mind, because last week I was in the middle of packing and moving, which is like really stressful.
Yes.
Not as stressful as other things, but
no,
still up
it's
there.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Non-life-threatening, distressful situations.
Yeah. Yeah. So every day I come to work, come home, pack. Me and my boyfriend would divvy up errands. I like told him, like, I feel like I haven't seen you. Like, all we do is we're like managers for this packing thing. So I was a mix of emotional, bored, drained, and nervous. And I'm like, oh, this must be what having kids is like. Every day you come home, do the same thing, and you're emotional, bored, drained, and nervous.
Yeah.
You wake up, you're exhausted, you go home, you can't string sentences together, you do it again. So I'm with you. Yeah.
There is no stopping.
There's no stopping. For me, there was an end. We finally moved.
Yeah.
For people with kids, I feel bad.
I do, but I think, you know, my sister just had one.
Yeah, but they bring joy too, right?
I think that's it. Like, she's so happy that it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I am refraining from showing you pictures of this kid right now
because
she's unbelievable. You know, so I think it's just. Ideally, that's the way you feel about comedy too. It's like, it's. I mean, it doesn't make sense unless you love it. At least those minutes when you're doing well on stage, you know, and they kind of make up for all the like other things about it.
Well, I always tell myself and people who seem to be in a bad way about comedy, I always, repeat it. Focus on what you can control, which is your own experience with it. Huh. You cannot control how bookers treat you. You can't control how other comedians treat you. You can't control anything except how you experience it.
Yeah.
So go in and just focus on what you love about it. And if you can't find anything, perhaps you should reevaluate.
Perhaps
take a break.
You need to take a small break.
Yeah.
I think I totally agree with that, and I completely get it, and you can always write, and you can always find a place to do jokes that night, and there's nothing like that, you know, immediate payoff and all that. But I think the only thing that is challenging with that idea to me is you do have to deal with some situations
so much
that you can control your response to them. But there are people who, or I shouldn't even say people, things about it.
Well, you can't control the audience always.
No, I'm not even worried about them.
Yeah, me neither. That's what people ask me. Them. How do you do it? I'm like, you don't understand. Performing's the easiest part.
And it's so funny, too, because people are like, how do you get up in front of people?
That's the part I want.
That's the good part.
Because,
and that I will say this, with moving here, that was one really hard piece of it, is the only people I could bring to these bringers were friends. And I hated performing in front of people I knew, especially back then. And it wasn't even about, like, pride, like, oh, that wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. But, like, I really don't want you to hear what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you hear this, you're really going to dislike me. Like, I have you kind of fooled into thinking I'm a somewhat cheerful, nice person, and that's really not. And, you know, and so that I've never minded performing in front of strangers.
Me neither.
Who cares? You have to run out of the room.
Exactly.
Ooh, you don't like me.
You can be yourself. It's kind of like being yourself when you're not around family or something.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's at their worst and most guarded around their families, or most
totally.
People. And also, I don't like my friends coming to shows because then I have to be in charge of their experience. That's how I feel.
I know,
and I'm
too.
Like, I don't know who the other comics are. I have no idea what the show is like. I'm crossing my fingers it's going to be good. I'm crossing my fingers you won't say they sucked after the show, which friends do out loud, or tell me how great everyone else was. I just don't.
I know.
It's easier not to.
I know. And but okay, so even when they are so nice, how do you like this question though? So do you know when you're going on?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if we're going to be on time. We're going to. I don't know. No,
like,
don't. This is
you,
not.
What would you do if you didn't know the performer?
Yeah.
You would just show up. Just act like you don't know me.
But we don't
Give me
know.
That respect.
I do not know sometimes.
I don't know where
you
I'm
don't
going
know.
Out.
I don't know. They may change the order.
Even if I knew my time, when does a comedy show ever start on time? I don't want to do the math. I need to focus on doing the act I'm there to do.
I know.
Anyway.
I know.
Whatever. I lost
we
my
digress.
Train of thought.
We were talking about comedy. Friends, easier being in front of strangers, which is one thing New York has
in
spades.
Right.
I don't know. We were talking about...
Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. What was your first road gig? Because you did comedy in mics, but a lot of people don't know how different it is to actually go out and get paid to do it outside of the city. It's a whole different world.
It's crazy.
When
was
it?
It was Bananas.
Like the actual Bananas
Poughkeepsie.
Club? Okay.
Bananas
Poughkeepsie.
Mm-hmm. And I was not... good.
Were you hosting or featuring?
I must have been hosting. There's no way I was featuring.
And, who booked you?
Roger Paul.
Oh, of course.
Roger
yes.
Paul.
Yes,
come
yes,
on.
Yes.
And, yeah, I just still can remember being up there being like, this is terrible. This, mm-hmm. They hate me. They hate me. But it's such a circular thing, you know? I mean, I probably went up with that in my head. Like, oh, this is going to be hard.
Right.
Or,
right.
Like, this doesn't really look like people who are going to be interested in my kind of jokes or, you know, I'm sure I was just full of all that, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't conscious. And then, boom, there you go.
And were you there all weekend?
Oh,
so you
yeah.
Had to do
I had to show up the next day. And, you know, and it wasn't, like, so bad that it was, like, you're not coming back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was a functional comic who was struggling, I guess. And,
how many
and,
years in was it?
Oh God, 7. I remember being so excited. My sister, when did she get married? She, I was probably 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. into New
that
York.
That sounds right.
Into
yeah,
New York.
Yeah.
It was just awful. And I remember I obviously wasn't going to be going back there. And, you know, I don't remember any interaction with Roger afterward, but I'm also going to be very honest with someone mm-hmm. about, you know, how it went. I'm sure I was the first to volunteer. Like, that was, sorry.
Yeah.
And, I do remember going back probably 5, 6, 7 years later.
Okay.
And they remembered. The nice lady at the host stand, mm. they're actually very nice.
They are, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She remembered me and even said something to the effect of, like, well, I'll be darned, or, you know, something like
my
that.
God.
So it took a
God.
While, but I was vindicated in Poughkeepsie.
So you'd had a great set 7 years later.
Many months later,
were
through
you
a completely.
I'm
probably still hosting.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And through another booker. I don't think it was Roger.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's funny. I mean, that's how long of a... It's a long run. At least it has been for
it's
me
a very
to
long
get
run.
Better.
Yeah.
It's not
everyone.
Been,
are you
yeah,
kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My first road gig. I don't know what I was talking
where was yours?
Giggles, Binghamton. I don't even know if they do
that's
Giggles
so
anymore.
Funny.
They're like the one-nighters run by... I forgot her name. She's in Florida. I basically, every time I write her, I mess up, according to her. So she's always reprimanding me over email. Like, no, don't do this. Don't do that. I need this now. I need that then. That was back when you had to mail headshots, like, to the establishment ahead of time.
Love it.
And it was a lot of bikers.
Oh, God.
And there was no, like, you know, in these, like, one-nighters, like, there's no host. There's, like, a local radio guy talking about the chicken race. Telling knock-knock jokes, and then I went up and did half an hour 9 months into comedy. I don't know what I was talking about.
Did you do it?
I don't know. I don't. It wasn't comedy. I feel like I have less time now than I did then. because I'm way more,
your standards.
Yeah, standards and also my particular voice, like, doesn't make sense with stripper jokes and, you know, random joke. It was bad. It was, like, a lot of really derivative stuff.
I'm impressed that you, I don't think I would have jumped off the stage. John Fish has the funniest thing. You know what? You gave an excellent speech.
Isn't
that funny?
I love it.
Yeah,
I was
like,
oh,
look, they're giving a speech. They're giving a speech. There's not a lot of laughing. It's a speech.
You had a great set.
You had a great
speech. But tonight wasn't it. that's awesome. So, in like, you've been here 15 years.
Yes.
Okay, sorry to bring it up.
I'm
incredibly
fine.
Young and youthful.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just going really fast. I can't even believe it's November.
It's
just
in
the year.
3 days.
It's
almost December, sweetheart. Sunday.
I know.
Okay, so have there been any times you've moved or wanted to move?
Oh, I've definitely thought about moving. Mm-hmm. I think I've even
Where?
Been open. Anywhere? No.
Okay,
I guess probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was traveling a lot for work because I have a job. I have not paid the bills through comedy.
No one does. I mean,
in full, let's say. I always joke they cover my highlights.
I mean, even the celebrities have perfume lines. You know? They don't bank on it.
And I was traveling a ton, and I was like city shopping. Mm-hmm. Like I would stay over a day on purpose and like kick around. And so I guess I was in Denver and Seattle and Chicago. Like, would I ever go back there?
No, I don't think so.
I know. No one would let me. They'd be like, "This is closed to you. We don't want you here."
Yeah. What about San Francisco?
No, I don't like it. My sister lived there.
I don't like it either.
Isn't that funny? I can totally see how these are
all.
I feel
like you'd like do really well in comedy there, but I don't think you probably wouldn't be happy.
Everyone's so slow.
Yeah, I know. But that, you're going to find that anywhere. Denver? Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
My friend works there, and she's like, you don't, like, call after 4. People just are done for the day. And they're like, oh, you
that's
want
when
me
I'm
to do roll, something?
That's when I get kicking.
Me too.
3:30 to, like, 7 is a good zone.
Yeah.
That's when I'm really,
not to
really
mention 7 and on in comedy. I mean, burning the midnight oil all the time.
Oh, my God.
In Denver, they're like, oh, no, you're asking me for a request? It's 4:15, sweetie, tomorrow morning. No.
That's phenomenal. Well, maybe that was it.
I think I was used to that.
I was just tired, and I think I'd had an unpleasant breakup, and I think that I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And not even like I'm unhappy here, but like financially, just what we got to make some decisions.
Yeah.
And I really gave it not serious thought, but it was definitely bouncing around my head. And then I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. And so I kind of feel like if there was a situation where I ended up in like a Hudson or Tarrytown, like that's great. I don't need to be in my apartment for the rest of my life in the middle of 25th Street, like surrounded by college drinkers on Friday night. Like that's, I am getting like, enough with the people. But I can't leave. I've got to be within, you know, striking zone of this lovely town. So, and all my friends are here. Like, I think when I was in Denver, I was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, how are you meeting people at this juncture?
But you're in a relationship, so that's over.
I think I'd even outgrown that thing. Like, that was no longer entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, when am I going to a bar? I don't want to go to a bar.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There's a lot of bars there.
In Denver?
It's called Menver. That's the
name. Oh, is it?
Because there's so many men.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Menver, yeah.
Interesting.
She is now taking notes, and
I did look at my pen when you said that.
I know,
I
you
like,
did.
Interesting. I don't need to write that down. I'll remember.
So, what a few words about dating in New York City? That says it all.
I was just going to say it like many syllables. Unpleasant. I don't know. I've never really dated anywhere else that much. I guess I was in Chicago for a little bit, so it's hard to know. But I really do think it's a little more. It's a little extra special.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I always feel like it's like the Olympics of dating, you know. And because
I also think there's a big mix of people who treat it like Vegas, but that it's more of a permanent Vegas. So it's like a 10-year Vegas or a 5-year Vegas, especially men. And the ones I've dated, at least in the past. And they come here to get their thrills, to make their money, to live in the high rise, to do this. But of course I'm never going to stay here and settle down. I'm moving on. This place is where I get my thrills and my excitement. And I can say I lived here and I have you know, a trump card or a calling card for when I moved to a smaller place.
Right. You've, you like, know, lived with, in New yeah, York. Like, you just moved here from New York mm-hmm, City.
Mm-hmm.
So where you probably lived in, like, Kips Bay.
Well, and that's
like,
what I'm you know. Saying. Upper East Side, Kips Bay. They live in the high rises and they right. leave. And yeah. we're like, no, we live here. We're not just, like, yeah. you can't just, like, use me.
I don't know if I would have dated that guy anyway, though. I'm seeing a right. lot of Chinos.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about him. I'm seeing...
different. Also multicultural. I dated a lot of
yeah.
Indian guys. And there was
excellent.
A period of that. There was a period of that.
Excellent.
And there was a lot of people...
Go Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah, exactly. There was an international phase, so a lot of those guys come in and out.
Oh, interesting. Maybe yeah. that is what it is. Yeah. I don't think I've mm-hmm. I encountered
I don't date
that.
The, no offense, University of Michigan Law School sweatshirts
well, neither
from
do
Yorkville.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah, 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 yeah but that's yeah, who yeah. I was envisioning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
there
was
like,
those
two, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, but I don't really see Vicky with that kind of
no,
person either.
No. But if they come here and they do date, I feel like that girl would also want to leave.
Oh, she's dying to
yeah,
leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why she comes here, maybe.
Yes.
To meet that guy to leave.
Yeah. The girls get the jobs
yeah,
and
yeah. they also save
PR
the money.
And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you keep it looking good. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that they're not interested yeah. in a long run in Manhattan.
No.
And no, they're going to seal the deal ASAP. My neighbor, well, I shouldn't even identify because they're the nicest. Mm-hmm. They were the nicest. But I knew the minute that she moved in with him, I was like, oh, she's going to wrap this yeah. up in a year.
Yeah.
They are gone.
Wow.
He is now on a train. I ran into him on the street. He's so cute. And but he takes a train in, mm-hmm. and they have a kid. Boom,
but they
done.
Live, like, upstate or something?
Yeah, yeah, they're in Connecticut.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, but he
also,
still travels into
all
the city.
Those people are really nice. And what they do when they leave is leave the damaged people. And the damaged people have to be with each other. It should be more integrated, not this segregated.
Oh, God. Those are the only people I really
Me
like.
Me too.
And so it doesn't really matter.
That's true.
Because I can say that these people are nice, and it's true,
right,
and
right,
I
right.
like them, and but I probably, and they're not going to like me.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of information. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
It kind of all works out.
Yeah, it does.
I think.
I like that. I like that mantra. It kind of
yeah, because
out.
It's vague and ambivalent,
yeah, yeah.
and I'm, like, making a face, like, I don't know. Like, it's, I think it all kind of works out. But I've also always known, too, though, that, like, I don't think there's a city where there would be as many available guys over 30, 35.
That's true.
Or, you know, even with the moving in and out thing, you know, people do come and go, which is... The flip side of it is mm-hmm. there's always new people coming.
That's true.
So I think I've always known in the back of my head, like, I would be a disaster if I were living back mm-hmm. in Michigan where I grew up. I would be like a spinster.
Yeah. Jinx.
You know? And yeah. Buy a couch. And I don't feel that way here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very nice. And I mean, I will in a matter of 24 hours when I go home to Michigan.
Yeah, but that's temporary.
Yeah. And But,
you know, there's always the flip side because you just live your life
yeah.
and you don't see yourself as a spinster.
No.
Because you're not. You're just a person living your life. And you go home to Michigan and suddenly feel, oh, did I do something wrong? But the flip side is people in Michigan are very envious of you not caring.
I think that I was much more susceptible to the, oh, did I do something wrong mm-hmm. feelings in the past.
Yeah.
Probably mid-30s
yeah.
through... late 30s,
yeah.
and then I really did hit, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I can't feel bad anymore about things that, to a certain extent, I can't control.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, my God, I'm going to sound like Gloria Steinem. Does my life mean less because I don't have a barbecue? You know,
yeah.
and I really threw it off, I would say that was a huge insecurity for me, and then I really got over it. And
was there something that made you get over it, or
just age?
Age, yeah.
I think I was just tired of being sad and feeling bad about it. I mean,
not
I
spend
even
your life feeling sad.
No, I don't. Not
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
But I think even it happened in stand-up a little, where I had all these really, like, super like just mean jokes to myself. Like mm-hmm. self-deprecating humor is wonderful; it makes the audience like you. We all get it. Da 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 da. We're all people. But then, like, I had a couple that were just not nice to myself, and I was like, I'm not doing those anymore. I'm tired of putting
yeah.
myself down to that degree. Like, this is unnecessary. And I think it was just that sort of, again, about that whole situation. And I don't think you. How can I not sound like I'm, like, going to get on a soapbox? I don't think you can have everything. And,
yeah.
I apparently picked independence and pursuing stand-up.
Yeah.
But I don't think I had any choice.
Yeah, I don't. It's not so, like you stood somewhere and picked two
no,
boxes
I didn't
out of
say
three.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No to family.
You just went on a, you just organically went on where you needed to go.
Yeah.
Just like other people think they do or do.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's really interesting too is I think, I know I am not angry.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm as angry as people perceive, or, and I don't mean anyone in particular, but I think, like, if a woman isn't in a very traditional situation, or maybe, you know, family and a mother and stuff, that it's assumed that I'm anti those things.
Mm-hmm. You're not.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
That's what
and
makes me
that's where I get, that's where I get a little annoyed, because I'm like, mm-hmm. this doesn't mean I'm looking down on what you're doing. I just didn't do
it. And
it
doesn't mean I didn't choose it on purpose.
Yeah.
But it means I didn't, it just means I didn't force myself into it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And
it doesn't mean I don't want it eventually,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It just, you shouldn't assume anything about somebody.
Yeah, because I do think there's sometimes a backlash where I'm assumed, oh, I know what it was. I was with some, the most recent incident, I was at the bar for some, you know, game just to be social. I don't care for sports. But it was like a lot of people from college. And they were asking me if I was going to have kids. And the funny part, it was men. It was not girls and or women. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I everything's good and who knows. And, you know, we're not going to get into the actual science part of this right now yeah. because it's a bar.
yeah.
But they looked at me like I was like sad and they're like, she doesn't get it.
Oh,
she just
God.
Doesn't. I was like, I get it. But like, what do you think I'm going to do about it? And yeah. it doesn't mean I'm saying that your choice is ridiculous. It just,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe people are more defensive. I think I'm only just starting to realize that people who maybe, let's say for lack, just for shorthand, the ones back in Michigan when I go home and I
yeah.
always felt so bad, I'm only just starting to be like, oh, maybe they kind of feel a little like.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They feel envious of you. And I would never look at somebody, a man or a woman with three babies and a grill, like you said, and think, oh, I guess they never want to pursue any dreams.
Oh, my
no,
God.
No, I would
of course
never
they
assume
do.
That.
Of course they do.
Yeah. So why would someone assume about you that you don't want things? And is it really anyone's business?
Well, it's no one's business. But I think it also makes it
easier for them
yeah.
to know that you can only do one.
Yeah.
You know.
And if there's any sort of competitive nature behind those feelings, it's like that's how you would console yourself.
Yeah.
That, well, she may have her independence or whatever, but she is crying herself to sleep over that kid thing, let me tell you.
Well, that's on them.
Yeah.
The last cry's on them.
Well, no, I mean, I may wake up and be very upset about that.
Well, you probably will
yet.
Friday morning, but then Saturday morning when you're back on the plane,
no,
you're like, oh, back to
no.
life.
I just, I guess we're just lucky because,
yeah.
you know, I could still adopt or do something mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. there could be a crazy accident.
And it could be.
It could still happen.
Well, you look like you're about 28. So.
Oh, again, the flattery.
28 movie star over here.
Flattery.
Well, flattery is a great way to wrap it up. But any words of advice to a young Michigan girl moving here?
Oh, my God.
Don't do it.
No.
You only need one thing, a job or an apartment.
Definitely.
If you try to set up both, you'll never make it here.
Definitely. Just go. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. But don't bother if you feel like it's sort of like, oh, I could. Like, you have to be like, oh, I really need to. And
you have to have no options.
Yeah, no options. Like, that's the only way out. And I wasted too much time dating. Just what? I should have been more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been more focused. I think I was worried about trying to meet someone
yeah.
so I could get a barbecue. But
right.
turns out, not going to happen.
Barbecues are not important. Be focused on living life. Not what you other people think life should be.
No.
Susan Preckel, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy 15 years.
Thank you.
You're
you too.
Star.
Oh, too kind.